Well, it is less than 2 weeks to Christmas, and the countdown has begun. Presents to buy and wrap, parties to attend, stockings to fill, cookies to bake, and poor Santa has had to deal with these last-minute requests. Dear Santa, just text my dad. He has the whole list. I love you, T.E. DK sent the following reminder to Mr. Claus. Dear Santa, if you're going to bring toys with batteries, bring batteries too. Now, here's a little lady who knows what she wants. Dear Santa, for Christmas, I want an iPhone 17 Pro Max. I've been very good at school and bring my brother whatever he wants. Love, Izette. Or better, Lucy's list. Dear Santa, give me a big fat bank account and a slim body. And don't mix it up like you did last year. You said it, Lucy. And finally, this letter takes a sinister tone to get what they want. This letter came in with a box with a gold, with a red reindeer collar in the box. Dear Santa, I have Rudolph. This is proof. Bring me these toys or I'll send you the rest of him. And don't try anything funny. Nintendo Switch 2, Adventure 3 e-bike, and a holiday Barbie 2025. You got the list. You know what to do. How lovely, isn't it? Now Santa's going to need to carry a can of mace. The reindeer will need body shields and perhaps replace those cookies with a dose of Xanax to make it through the night. Throughout the season, Annie William croons it's the most wonderful time of the year, and Brenda Lee encourages us to be rocking around the Christmas tree, and Frank Sinatra implores us to have ourselves a merry little Christmas, because from now on our troubles will be miles away. What a contradictory mess Christmas has become. The best of days, longing for those golden days, the most disappointing of days with sales galore crammed down our throats and no time to meditate, to understand, and to reflect, right? We valiantly try to make Christmas special. According to the Gallup poll, Americans spend over $900 on presents at Christmas, and we spend an additional $1,800 on other items, which we tend to forget in our calculations, like Christmas trees and decorations and food, Christmas cards and travel. One accountant and financial coach says the most common feelings about Christmas that she hears from her clients are shame, regret, anguish, and embarrassment. Mental health professionals and clergy can confirm this, and I'm on board with this one. We know that this isn't the most wonderful time of the year for a lot of people. Among the residents I meet with at various assisted living facilities, many are facing Christmas alone and for the first time without a spouse or their former home that they had for decades. And for the rest of us, we're filled with expectation, but for what? Some of the times we are left with emptiness, a yearning for something more or different. We want the loneliness to stop. We want this violence to stop that's all around us. We want to be touched by the birth of Jesus in a way that we are filled with love and joy. And we know in our heads that presents don't bring us joy, parties don't bring us joy. And for some people, even coming to church doesn't bring us joy sometimes, right? What does it mean to be joyful in the face of hardship and consumerism? These yearnings tug at us as we enter now our third week of Advent. And this week we are invited to think about joy. This we know, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness comes from the world around us. Happiness is conditioned and often dependent upon what is happening to us. Happiness is dependent on circumstances like the moon, and like the moon waxing and waning, happiness is born like in mind, like exchanging Christmas presents. Joy, however, is not affected by these external happenings. Joy is a state of mind characterized by peace. It's a spiritual anchor that grounds us despite life's inconsistencies. Joy can be found in pleasure, in wealth and riches, or in prestige. Cannot be found. Let me get got that switched. Joy cannot be found in pleasure or in wealth and riches or prestige and fame. Joy doesn't mean we're always going to be perky and smiley and full of cheer. But joy is found, however, in the fabric of relationships that we have. Joy flows like the eternal love of the Lord. Joy is like the sun, always shining, even when the night falls and clouds cover it. Joy is perhaps the greatest gift we can ask for ourselves and give one another, even when the days are dark or our spirits are confused. When it comes to joy, we have to open ourselves to that experience, to anticipate it without expectation, to expect it without entitlement, and to receive it with humility. Joy doesn't come from the burdens and expectations we place on ourselves, for we can never measure up. There's always going to be some sorrow. That's why many of us get the Christmas blues, because joy comes when we let go of expectations, but are filled with expectation of being touched by God's word, God's presence, God's love for us. As we've been observing over the past couple of weeks, the prophet Isaiah shows us how God, in his power and glory, turns everything on its head. Swords are beaten into plowshares. The wolf lies down with the lamb. And today we hear how the tongue of the speechless shall sing with joy. Joy is there because, bidden or unbidden, God is with us. Nowhere do we see this more than in the life of John the Baptist. It's interesting to note that John leapt for joy in his mother's womb. You call that story when he was in the presence of Jesus and Mary, from the story in Luke, and even in prison. Now, in John tells us that John, when the Baptist was in prison, he said, "My joy is now full. He must increase and I must decrease." So John, this prophet from the wilderness, is a man of joy. What is joy? It's about, in its essence, it's knowing the difference. And here's the difference. Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stockings with goodies, but Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your door and knocks and enters your heart when invited. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap, but Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. Santa says, "You better not cry," but Jesus says, "Cast all your cares on me, because I care for you." Santa's little helpers makes toys, but Jesus makes new life. He mends broken hearts, repairs wounded homes, and builds mansions in heaven. Santa may be a jolly old self, but Jesus is our King of Kings. While Santa puts your gifts under your tree, Jesus became our gift and died on that tree. So, beloved of God, know this: ransomed of God, know this. Remember Isaiah's bold promise today for our remaining days of Advent that we shall obtain both joy and gladness because sorrow and sighing will flee away. Everlasting joy shall be upon our heads. We just expect it to be so. Let us claim joy no matter what's going on in our lives. Claim joy as our birthright and let our hearts burst forth in singing joy to the world. That famous Christmas carol, joy to the world, because truly, truly, the Lord has come. Amen.